Chapter 5, An Interesting Discourse, a sermon by Elder A.T. Jones. The subject of the lesson was the church as the house of God, bringing together those texts which speak of the church as the body, etc. The first I call attention to is 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 to 15, which calls the house of God the church of God. And the object of Paul's writing in this particular place was to show us how to behave ourselves in the church. A most important study, and for want of knowledge on this point, come many of the church difficulties. But I read the text to show that the house of God is the church of God. Now, reading Hebrews chapter 3, verse 6, we find that we are Christ's house, and the chapter shows how faithful Christ was over his house. The subject opening in the second chapter, and he is set before us to consider that he was faithful. Moses was faithful as a servant, but Christ was faithful as a master, and in being so, he wants us to learn faithfulness, to be faithful in the house of God as the servants of him who has called us, faithful in everything, verse 17. Paul showing Christ as coming as Adam did, and made perfect through suffering, and being tempted that he might save us when we are tempted, doing all this that we in his strength might triumph. By him and him alone we can be faithful. Christ met every temptation that we will have to meet, and our faith putting him in the place of every temptation, we have his strength to overcome and be faithful as he was faithful. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9 states that we are God's building. There is not a proper view in the world of what the church of God is and the relations of members to it. It is often said, I can be as good a Christian out of church as I can in it, but this is not so. No one can separate himself from the church and be a Christian, because such a one is out of Christ. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 to 5, this is carrying forward the idea of Paul, and in addition, that it is a spiritual house being built up of lively or living stones, Christ being the living stone, and we, living by him, are through him made living stones. In the same way, the commandments are called the lively oracles, being the law of the living God. Now, by coming to him and becoming living stones, having life given free, we are built up a spiritual house. Further along, a living stone is called precious, living stones giving light and are capable of being polished so as to reflect an image. The scriptures carry that very idea of Christ, a precious stone set before all people, and we, looking at him, see ourselves, and looking, upon seeing his perfection, become like him, and so are built up into him. This idea is followed in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. We, looking upon the Lord as into a looking glass, are changed from glory to glory into the same image. The idea is again referred to in the 4th chapter, verse 6. The same one who made light shine out of darkness in the beginning has shined into our hearts and changes us into his own image. Christ, then, is the living stone, coming to whom we are built up a spiritual house. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 6 to 7, can we all say that we believe in him to that extent that he is precious to us? We ought to so believe. The scripture Peter refers to is Isaiah chapter 26, verse 16. Now see 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10. Here, then, is the foundation, that living, precious stone. And we as lively stones are built upon that foundation, a spiritual house. Now read Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19 to 22. We have here the building thus far. Christ the cornerstone, the prophets the foundation, and we built on these. In him, the building is fitly framed together. Not being living stones before our coming to him, groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord. That is what the church is, and we builded for a habitation for the dwelling place of the Lord. When we get such a view of the house of God, is not a membership in it of more importance than we realize? If we cannot live peaceably in His house on earth, can we expect to do so in the house hereafter? Now we see by the expressions in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 15, and 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16, that we are the dwelling of Christ. So then, Christ dwelling in us, and we in harmony with Him. Christ dwells among us by His Spirit. In the book of Revelation, we have the city of the New Jerusalem presented to us, the foundation being of the most precious stones, the most precious one being the jasper. Who is called the most precious stone in our spiritual house? Christ, clear as crystal. Above all these is built the wall of colored stones, and above this the jasper stone again, and the glory of God showing through. For God will dwell there, and not needing the sun, although it shines 7 times as bright as it does now. How far then can this city be seen on the new earth? As far as vision will extend. Now we have a simile of this in the holy temple of God in the church. Christ as the cornerstone of jasper, the apostles and we as the wall, and Christ in His glory, shining out of His face to us above it all. Now we are the light of this world, as a city set on a hill. Let us read Matthew chapter 5, verse 14, and then Philippians chapter 2, verse 15. Then we try not to murmur or dispute. We must be blameless and harmless before we can be Christ's children, and stop murmuring or disputing. As a city set on a hill, our light should so shine that it cannot be hid any more than the glory of the new city can be in the new earth. And a church composed of such members is what Christ will have soon here. A church which nothing in this world can hide, and on which the people will see the glory of God. A church to which all honest people will come as doves do to the windows. There cannot be, therefore, brethren, anything more sacred out of heaven. And if we look upon it as anything less than this, we fail to appreciate it. Let us then never again have a common view of God's building and habitation. Following this came the daily class study on reporting and preparing articles for newspapers, in which nearly all on the campground took part, and then came the regular evening sermon on the evils of religious legislation by Elder H.E. Jones.